Good afternoon, gardeners. Welcome to Garden Planet. Today we are talking with Ellen, who's back again, and she is a greenie from way back, and she's here to talk about tree crops with us. So, Ellen, tell us about tree crops. What are tree crops?
Kia ora. Tree crops is anything that grows from trees. So the first that comes to mind is, of course, fruit. Mm-hmm. But people grow trees for firewood, for timber. So this is all still considered a tree crop.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Great. So the importance of tree crops, though, let's talk about that. I mean, a lot of people will grow food, as in vegetables and perennials and things, but they don't consider trees so much. So what are the benefits of having tree crops?
Overall, it's a loss. It's a lot less time that you have to spend per square meter. If you have a medium-sized tree, it covers probably about 6 square meters, and you only have to do certain things at certain times in a year to get a quite significant crop.
So let's talk about this thing called the Tree Crops Association.
Yes.
And Ellen, we hear that you've been a long-time member. So how did all this come about, and when did you become a member, and what's so great about tree crops?
I think I've become a member about 2008 or so. I just heard it from someone and I decided to go along, and I was really impressed by the variety of people and knowledge that's there. So it's tree crops meet at the old Horticulture Centre in Western Springs on every fourth Tuesday of a month at 7:30-ish. And so people, like-minded people who love to grow trees for production, meet there. And that could be a backyard gardener like me, or even a porch gardener in pots, or scientists. We've got quite a few scientists,
Any orchard commercial people.
Yeah. There's a few orchard people, more in rural New Zealand. Mm. There's a lot of people who run commercial orchards. Mm-hmm. So we get to see them at the annual conference, and it's quite different, the difference between the Aucklanders. We're almost, we're generally lifestyle blockers or backyard gardeners, but rural New Zealand has a lot of commercial.
That's a nice mix. You'd probably get some really interesting conversations.
Wow, totally.
Mm.
And knowledge.
Yes. Mm.
So anyone who's interested in growing tree crops can come along to these meetings.
Absolutely. And they're warmly welcomed. They receive one of the magazines if they dare to stick their hand up for being the new visitor, as I guess you two have too.
Yes.
Yep.
Does that officially make us members now?
No. You want to contribute a bit more than with your presence. It's actually only $50 a year, and you get a magazine 4 times a year and a newsletter. And, great. You still pay your gold coin entrance that covers the hall hire, but you get to get a raffle ticket for that, and you can win a tree, a fruit tree that members have grafted on grafting day in August or September.
Wow, so you'd probably be getting a decent tree too. Yeah.
Generally, the trees, there are some sort of more commercial varieties, but the trees or the signwood that you can get on grafting days, all the trees that you would never, ever see in a shop, all the healthy apples, not just the good-looking sweet apples.
Yeah. So let's talk about the trees themselves. Like, what are the tree crops that are really good to grow in Auckland, say?
Well, the lazy tree crop would be your citrus. I mean, citrus trees just thrive in Auckland, and that's anything grapefruit, even mm-hmm. though not many people seem to like them these days. But lemons, mandarins, yeah, yeah. tangelos, oranges, limes is a big one because they're a big ticket item if you go to the supermarket.
Yeah. So expensive.
Yes.
Yeah. My mum's growing, she's from Matakana, and she's growing something in a big sort of wine barrel on her deck. And it's a lime and a lemon in one.
Yes.
But I'm not talking about... It's not a half lemon, half lime fruit. Because when she said, oh, I've got this, and it's doing superbly. Yes. I'm so impressed. Blows your mind, doesn't it? Every day there's something new.
Yes. Oh, well, you can actually graft many types onto one tree. And that's something I've learned over the last 10, 12 years at the Tree Croppers. At grafting day. So now I haven't got any more room for more fruit trees on the property, so I take a little bit of scion wood. That's just a piece of a tree, let's say a apple tree, a takapuna russet, and I go home to my Granny Smith tree and I just graft that on, and next year or the year after I have a Granny Smith tree and I have one branch that grows takapuna russet, and that's same like your mother.
I've got to go and learn that.
Have you heard of that before?
Yes, well, I haven't actually done it or seen it being done, so I have to go and maybe have a learn.
That's really cool. Like, literally, on the same bush, she's got, like, two wonderful fruits.
Wow, five. Coming.
Yeah.
Well,
I have
two. You've got
five varieties on my apple tree, yeah.
So you can graft as many as you like. You just need to find a branch and just stick it in, and then... It'll be one variety there, one variety here.
Absolutely.
I'm sensing another club.
Sounds like a magic
on the horizon.
Tree.
It is magic because it does spread your harvest. So we don't really want a whole box of apples at any one time.
That's right.
But if we put early season, mid season, late season, a russet, a sweet, a cooker, a dessert apple, you can just...
You got it all there.
And a little bit of crab apple, because they provide very long flowering, so you have your pollination sorted.
Mm-hmm.
You can put one or two twigs on or branches on that are actually your pollinator.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to have two trees, but you need two trees because you need the pollination.
Oh, okay. That's right. Some are male and some are female. So
A and B's or...
A and B.
Can you have like your two different trees on the one then?
Yes.
Okay. Right.
But they have to be
like
the
a hermaphrodite
same
tree
type, like a citrus on a citrus.
Absolutely. An apple on an apple, a peach.
Okay.
Peach and plums, so they're stone fruits. They're compatible.
Oh, okay.
So usually you get peach rootstock and you graft your plum onto it, because a plum would be too vigorous. They would just outgrow your house.
Right.
Same as pear trees. You graft pear onto a quince, because quinces only get like 3-4 meters and pears can go up to 30. Mm. You don't want a 30 right. meter tree in your backyard. I don't.
Got one. Yeah. It doesn't even yield the fruit that I want. I got it some cheap. Mm. Yeah.
Although now in the garden centres, there seems to be a lot of dwarf fruit trees for sale. What do you reckon about the dwarf ones?
It's a really great opportunity for people who have very small spaces, even to put them in pots or wine barrels like your mum has.
Mm.
They have their advantages.
So if they were to grow it in a barrel, would they have to, how do they go about maintaining that health, like if it's in a small enclosed, you know?
Well, they need some
like
drainage,
that.
But they need to also pay really good attention to watering, because of course, being in a smaller space, watering is essential because it might dry out. You do need to provide nutrition, because there's only so much that's in that soil, in that confined space.
What about if they become root bound? Like, how do you go about... That's always my issue with growing trees in pots and barrels. I just think, where do they go?
So you do repot them once in a while,
right.
And you can actually prune the roots back. You should.
Okay.
So they're not root bound. You put fresh soil in. off you go.
Right. Okay.
You can get these special pots that are that you can ear prune the roots, because they've got little holes all around the side, so the roots can grow out, and then you can just cut off.
Give them a haircut.
Yeah.
That's cool.
What do they call them? Hydro pots, I think they call them. And
that's
they're
a good
not
idea.
Just for fruit trees, they're for
great
any kind
idea.
Of big plant. That, that's what they've that they're selling now. But they used to have them in sort of sacks that you could just, so they weren't like bound in pots that had straight sides with no air could get in.
Oh, interesting.
So Alan, now is the right time to plant trees, you would say?
Absolutely. I mean, you can plant trees at any time of the year, but throughout summer you need that firm commitment of watering. If you can't or don't have that firm commitment or don't have enough, especially rainwater resource, then just better leave it up to Mother Nature and start planting in April, May, when we do have a decent rainfall, and that takes the tree up to October with good rain, which means it can establish its roots, and you might want to top it up with a mulch and maybe just make sure next the summer after that it's well watered still, until it's got a big enough root system that it can look after itself even if it's a bit dry.
Because if it's anything, we don't really want to be stuck behind a hose every day.
No.
I was starting to feel that way by the end of this summer.
Yes, certainly we did too. And then the water ran out.
Alan, it's also the right time to prune fruit trees at this time, would you say?
Yes, there's two types of pruning. There's the summer pruning and there's the winter pruning. And they have sort of different purposes. And if you want to do the summer pruning, that actually you do after fruiting. So the plums, you would probably prune them rather in February, because that's when they're sort of coming to an end. Whereas apples, my Granny Smith will be hanging until July, even August. So I will do that. That is a winter pruning, because I haven't got a chance for summer pruning because they're hanging so long. But so you horses for courses.
Yeah.
The winter pruning, you establish the shape of the tree.
Yep.
And for summer pruning, you sort of prune for fruiting, and the regrowth will be less vigorous.
Okay.
Okay, so how do you prune for fruiting?
You need to know what tree you have. If you have a spur fruiting tree or a tip fruiting, let's say in the case of apple trees, best is spur fruiting, it's easier. And then you just keep all the twigs that come out, you just keep them short, and they will eventually, because they want to reproduce, and the apple is their form of reproduction, they want to create apples, and they will create special fruiting spurs that give you 2-3 apples per fruiting spur without having a huge tree. People who are spellier, they use that method a lot.
Okay. For the listeners, we better touch on the espaliering. I can't even say the word.
Espalier ring.
Okay.
Espalier a tree. So usually they're alongside a wall or a fence.
Exactly.
And you want to have them like, say, a grapevine is along a fence. So you want a tree that also goes along a fence like that.
I've actually heard that it's also just general shaping of a tree. Dee Green, that lady I went and talked to from Frog Orchard over in Tinarangi, that's how she described it. It's just you shape the branches to weigh them down so they're not all pointing up towards the sky with weights or stockings or things like that. That was her.
Okay.
Espaliering is usually referred to as a two-dimensional growing of a tree or a vine, like you said, along, for example, a warm brick wall. If you have a tree that might not be doing that well in your colder climate, but actually if you plant it as an espalier tree in front of a brick wall, it'll absorb the heat of the sun and then radiate it out and make your fig tree grow maybe in Ireland where it wouldn't usually grow.
Oh, right, so use that warmth of, exchange, heat exchanging going on.
Yes.
And you can espalier them in different shapes. There's fan shapes, there's diagonals, there's like candle shapes.
Exactly.
So it can become like a work of art, really.
She was basically telling us at her fruit tree orchard, you want it to sort of be in the shape of, it's pretty simple, but like a, if you were looking down on it, it would look like the spokes of a wheel.
Yes.
Or, that was her.
Yeah. Or a vase or like a hand that's sort of holding something. Another thing about pruning is people say that you should prune so that a bird can fly through the branches.
Exactly.
So I've been doing some pruning of my feijoa tree, which has got all bushy. And last year I cut it back because it was growing too tall. But then all the little sprouts started coming out from the base, and then it got so bushy that I couldn't even see any see the other side. So I just cut away all the things, the branches that were growing into the trees to get more air and light in. It didn't have any fruit this year, but I think if I do that again, maybe next year it will have something.
Yes. So if you prune a tree too heavily, it will respond. It will think, oh, my God, she's killing me. Mm. And then it will put all this growth out and you haven't actually achieved what you actually wanted to achieve. So it's really better to prune a tree every year a little bit. Because then it doesn't get into panic mode. And feijoas literally need birds through them because that's how they're pollinated. They're not pollinated by bees, they're pollinated by birds. So if you see a blackbird or silver eyes in your feijoa while it's flowering, it's a good thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So, so feijoa is really good and citrus is a really good one for Auckland backyards, but... Ellen, I hear that you've got a really good fruit tree crop that you want to share with us that is growing so well at the Point Shave Community Garden.
Bananas. It's not technically a tree. It's technically a berry.
What?
What?
That's Wikipedia, so I blame them if it's not right. But one of the best fruiting, let's call them trees because they do actually take quite a bit of room. It's the best fruit that I think you can plant in Auckland and further north, or if you have a microclimate warm spot, if you're a bit further south. They are tropical.
Is that just of recent years when as Auckland's warmed up, do you think? Or I've never thought of New Zealand as being great for bananas. I always thought it had to be a really tropical, humid...
Well, ask the Tongan and the Samoan and the Cook Island people and you know that they've been growing bananas for yonks.
Yeah.
Some of them did bring, actually, when it was still permitted, the more hardier varieties from Samoa Missiluki. They grow sort of a little bit more in the mountainous region, not like big mountain because it's an island anyway in the Pacific, but just a little bit more cold hardy. And they can withstand frost. Certainly their trunks can, and that's where the leaves emerge from. Your leaves may die in a frost, but in spring the new leaves will emerge and your plant will be going again.
Is that the breed you've got at the community garden?
We've got several. We just don't really know what they are because we just got them. I literally knocked on some doors where I saw bananas 15 years ago and sort of offered $5 or $10 for a banana pup and started to grow them. And some of our friends from the garden also have. So we've all sort of pitched in. We got some from Kilmarnock Garden because we wanted a variety, even though we didn't know what exact type they were. They're all finger long.
Mm. Yeah, I've tasted one of their bananas.
Delicious. Well, yeah. When do they come into fruit, Alan?
Well, year-round, if you have enough. So we started out with 7 or 8 plants in a huge banana circle. That's a really great way to plant bananas. If you have a bit more space, if not, you just put them in the corner a meter away from the fence because they do clump out.
Okay.
And then over the year, they clump out. They grow once they're sort of maybe 2 meters high. They start to grow little babies from their base.
Mm-hmm.
They're called pups.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And after about 42 to 45 leaves, the flower will come out, and that's where the bananas are formed. And that takes at least half a year to ripen. I don't ripen them on the plant. When they start to change color and I see bird pecks or rat bites, I take them off. I ripen them in my garage, and you have to cut the whole tree down. That's not ever going to do anything for you. But it will, in turn, send about 3 or 4 pups out. And all the energy that mother comb has will now go into those pups. And so out of one plant that you cut down and get a huge bunch of bananas, you suddenly have 2 or 3. And so that sort of exponential growth.
Wow. So it's an ever-giving plant.
It is. It is. And then you should actually take 1 or 2 out. You shouldn't have more than 2 or 3 from a corm.
Mm.
And so that's the plants that you can share with your friends and make all the people in Auckland grow bananas.
Okay. Right.
So over a couple of years, we'll soon be seeing bananas all across Auckland.
Hopefully. Because if you look at New Zealanders import so many bananas.
I know.
That's crazy. And they grow so readily.
Yes.
From Ecuador, Philippines, Australia.
Ridiculous. It's a huge carbon footprint.
Mm.
It's not good working conditions in those countries most often. And you cannot get a single organic banana in New Zealand unless it was grown here, because even if they were grown organically, they have to be fumigated before they come into New Zealand.
Yes.
Because in a banana bunch there's a lot of animals that can live there.
So why aren't we growing bananas?
I don't know. So that's why we're here today talking about bananas.
Cool.
So Auckland
thank you.
City Banana Republic.
Yes. In a good way.
Yeah.
And people can buy the pups of us. We used it as a fundraiser from the community garden, and they're still half as expensive or cheap.
All right. So, have you got any pups at the moment there?
Oh, we dig out on demand.
I'm already thinking where I'm going to put it in the yard.
In our Woodside community garden, we do have bananas, but they're Abyssinian bananas.
They're beautiful.
Mm.
They're good biomass for composting or mulching, but they won't ever give you any food.
Oh no.
So they're just ornamentals.
Yes.
Oh well.
Their leaves are
good
very useful for a hangi or a umu or
for
wrapping things or for making, Thai food.
Mm.
Okay.
So we need to be getting
We need to get ourselves some pups.
Yeah.
Yes.
Definitely.
I don't know, but what's that breed called again?
Our ones.
Yeah.
Abyssinium.
They're only, a couple of metres tall. We've had them for probably 4 years.
Yeah.
Does that sound right?
Oh, you must be on clay.
And we do get frost there by the stream.
Clay.
Okay.
Because ours are about 3 metres and they're about 2 years old or so. They grow massive. They grow a trunk as big as an oak tree.
Right.
And the leaves are 4 metres long.
Wow.
The Tongan neighbours come and harvest them when they have an umu.
Yeah.
Mm.
So for all us Aucklanders out there in Woodside Community Garden, so we'll get the circle thing going. But before we do that, we're going to dig into that clay and
add compost. So a banana circle is actually a very functional thing, but we might. I just want to also highlight that you can eat the banana flower. So once the banana, the fingers don't develop anymore and the flower starts to grow away from it, it's a purple big flower or heart.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You can actually harvest that too and make really yummy curries or salads, Vietnamese style or Filipino style. Or
what does it taste like? Does it have a nice taste to it? Or?
You have to work out the astringency and the latex, but once you've done that, it's not very hard, just a bit of washing it out with your bit of active kneading in water.
Yeah.
And you make a coconut curry. Really yummy. I just made some.
I'm glad I asked that now, because I just thought whenever they say flowers in cooking, it's like ornamental, you chuck in the salad or whatever, but that's not at all how I have you seen a banana flower before?
No. I'll have to go and
bring that one up at the floral circle, Selena. Why not?
So, Alan, you're saying you're purple-y looking ones? Purple flowers?
Yes.
Okay.
The Filipinos actually call them heart. Because they're not true flowers, but of course they're flowers as in they're producing fruit after they've been pollinated.
Would you say bananas, are they prone to pests and any diseases?
Actually, it's one of the easiest foods to grow. You just bang it in the ground.
Mm.
You do give it some mulch.
Yeah,
it needs water, so put it in your wettest spot.
Mm-hmm.
It will actually help your property, if that's a waterlogged spot, to actually just pump out that moisture out of the ground and make it walkable.
Mm.
Won't have any problem then.
Ours is like a bog.
Our garden is on a flood zone, so I'm excited.
Yeah, so I might come and have a look and bring one and you can establish
how
it.
How many do we need to start with, ideally?
I think 4 is a really good start if you want to start with a banana circle, which is a permaculture technique.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you do that with other plants as well?
You can do that in Cuba. We have done one with bananas interspersed with pawpaw. And then some ground cover. It looks like a huge donut. You dig out, you dig a hole in the middle and all the soil, you put like a donut around the hole.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about 1.5 or 1 meter diameter.
Oh, okay.
And you plant the banana on the top of those donuts and the pawpaw and whatever. And in that hole, you put a lot of organic. It's like a big compost hole.
Oh, wow.
Compost and water. You can actually channel your grey water in there.
Oh,
and
right.
The compost and the bananas will actually mitigate your grey water and just pump it up. It's
wonder how
super
pawpaw
technique.
Would go over here.
Not as sweet as you would have
but
them from the
it's
islands.
It's such a great medicinal plant, though, to have. Pawpaw cream.
Mm. I'm envisaging like banana circles in every backyard.
Yes. If you don't have space for a circle, then just give it a square meter and you still grow 6-7 banana trees. And you were asking before, when are they ripe? So in our garden, we've got about, like I said, 40 plants of all stages. We have now come to the exciting time after, 4 years that we've got 2, 3, 4 banana clusters going at any point in time of different age.
Wow.
That's wonderful. Helen was just going to touch on the pick fruit community harvesting, what would you call it, an initiative where you go onto a website and they tell you what fruits are ripening in Auckland, and then they tell you where the fruit trees are so you can go and pick them for your community.
That sounds like something I got sent the other day on Neighbourly. They sent me a map with all the... Is that there?
Yeah, that's that.
Yes, there's a few maps floating around. There's one that's called the NZ Fruit Map that was established by a guy called Michael about 10 years ago. And I've added quite a lot of trees to that, but I think people messed it up a little bit. But you could basically just log any trees that you saw unharvested and describe what they were and where.
Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful idea. So for those of us who don't have any fruit trees, we can log into that map and find out where they are.
What was that website again?
Pickfruit.co.nz.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, that's all we have time for, I'm afraid. But thank you, Ellen, for coming in and sharing with
thank
me and
so
Karen
much.
And everyone else all about tree crops.
Thanks for having me.
You can email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com about this topic or any other garden-related things. And happy gardening, everyone. We'll be back next week.
Thanks, Selena. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.